Here are some more scriptures for you to consider. John 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe into his name." John 2 verse 23. "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed into his name when they saw the signs which he did." Interesting. That was even before he died. John 3 verse 18 says, "He who believes into him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed into the name of the only begotten Son of God." John 14 verse 12 to 14 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever believes not into me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." 1 John 5 verse 13 says, "These things I have written to you who believe into the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may continue to believe into the name of the Son of God." This gives that sense of entering into an intimate connection and relationship with God. And so truly, when you believe in Christ, you have entered into him, so to speak. Bearing this in mind, Ephesians 1 and 2 speaks much about being in Christ. When we enter into the name of Jesus, we enter into who he is. For a person's name represents their identity. Acts 17 verse 28 says, "In him," that's Jesus, "we live and move and have our being." The name of Jesus carries great authority. Sins are forgiven because of the authority of the name of Jesus. Luke 24 verse 46 to 48 says, "Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." The name of Jesus is the ultimate authority over demons and disease, and provides protection for the believer. Mark 16 verse 16 to 18 says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Luke 10 verse 16 to 17 says, "He who hears you hears me, he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Acts 16 verse 18, "But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour." Calling on or taking the name of the Lord makes you part of his family. Do you remember that God gave Abraham and Sarah both the prominent letter for his name when he changed their names? That was part of the covenant ritual where the parties involved in the contract exchanged names, as we've mentioned before. In the same way, when you enter into covenant with God, he gives you his name. Ephesians 3 verse 14 to 15. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now let's look at Exodus 20 verse 7. It says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Taking the name of the Lord in vain. This is one of the Ten Commandments. The word translated there as take means to lift, to bear up, to carry, and to take. In other words, if you take God's name, you lift it up, you place it upon yourself, and you carry it with you wherever you go. Therefore, his name becomes part of you. The word translated as vain means emptiness, vanity, and falsehood. Therefore, this verse tells us that we're not born naturally by physical birth into a covenant relationship with God, but that we must each individually make that commitment to God. We must pick his name up, put it onto ourselves, and carry it with us. We must take it for ourselves. Moreover, this commitment must not be an empty or deceitful thing. For if we enter into covenant with God in such a manner, we will not reap the benefits of the covenant. In fact, we will break the covenant, and we know that the penalty for a broken covenant is death. Interestingly enough, the first time we find calling on the name of the Lord mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis 4:26. I'm going to read it to you from verse 25. "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord." The word translated there in the English as began, in "began to call on the name of the Lord," is a mistranslation. The word means to profane or defile. Therefore, what really happened in Genesis 4, verse 25 to 26, is that men began to call on the name of the Lord in a profane, defiling way. In a nutshell, they took the name of the Lord in vain.